Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be looking at hindrances to healing today, the second in this part of our healing series. And before we get into the message today, I want to talk just briefly about our projects we have going here in Africa. I'm coming to you from Kenya today, and we've been having some good rain, so our maize crops and our bean crops, all of that is starting to look good. And so we have a prospect for a great harvest coming up in about a month or so. And we've been working on a posho mill house. We're going to install a posho mill or a flour mill next to the church. We're building a little shop there. We're going to have a posho mill and a little grocery store to go with it. And so that is a project we're working on. And we're just about finished on the shop, and now we have to start thinking about bringing electricity in and start thinking about getting a permit to operate and all of that stuff, and also looking for a posho mill. And then secondly, we have our Living Water Children's Home. The children are in school now, but we have about 33 children, and they're doing well in school. They get up very early, like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and get off to school by about 7. And so that is a project that you would be interested in, and we would love to have your support. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast, and you can find out how you can help us sponsor a child, help them with their medical needs, their school needs, their fees for school, and also just the staff to take care of them, and all of the incidental things it takes to support children. And when you can multiply that by 33 or 35, you know you have a task on your hands and a big challenge. So stay tuned for contact information at the end of the broadcast, and we can tell you how you can support those projects and many more here at Gather the Outcast here in Africa. Well, today we're going to be talking about hindrances to healing. And we started this subject last week, and so it's a big subject. Healing in general is a big subject. Jesus many times encountered people. He healed them. Many times when he went into cities, that's what he did. He prayed for people, and he healed them. That's what we do in the Crusades. We preach about the salvation of Jesus. We preach about the healing for your soul, for your spirit, and the salvation that Jesus shed his blood for your salvation. He also shed his blood for your healing, for your physical body, for your soul. And one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. And so that is foremost on God's mind after salvation. It's very important to God how your body is taken care of, whether you take care of it, whether other people take care of it, and how God sees it. And so we're going to be talking about things that hinder your healing. And last week we started this subject, hindrances to healing, and we looked at four things that were a hindrance to your healing. First and foremost was unbelief. And we know that Jesus, many times he healed people, and he said, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well," or "be it done to you, be it done unto you according to your faith." And so you have to believe, and you are rewarded according to your belief. Can Jesus and God heal without our faith being involved, without us believing? Yes, they can, and they can override our faith. But Jesus can see our faith by the way we act, the way we look, the way we talk, the way we walk. Even the paralytic, Jesus saw their faith by the way the four men who were carrying the paralytic, how they acted, how they walked, how they talked. So Jesus said he saw their faith, and so he rewarded the paralytic who could not walk, talk, or do anything. They rewarded the paralytic because of the faith of his friends. And so many times Jesus healed and said, "Your faith has made you well." Well, that's one thing, unbelief. If you have no faith, then your unbelief may block the healing that God has intended for you. And the second thing we talked about last week was pride. And we looked at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10, the story of Naaman. And he had leprosy, and he went to Elisha, the prophet in Israel, and Elisha gave him instructions on how he could be healed. and Naaman's pride got in the way. He did not receive the instructions. Elisha told him a simple plan to go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times into Jordan, and Naaman's pride would not allow it because he didn't think the Jordan River was worthy of his presence. And so he went on back to Syria. He was in a rage, and thank the Lord that his counselors back in Syria said, Naaman, you just need to submit yourself to the prophet's plans, submit yourself to the plan of God, go humble yourself, go dip in the Jordan. And he did that, and he came out, and his skin was healed. It was fresh and pink like a little baby's, and so the leprosy was taken care of when he humbled himself. And so when you submit yourself to God's plan, you get rid of your pride. Maybe that's what's causing your physical infirmity. It's not always the case, but sometimes that is what's causing physical infirmity, is just our pride and our resistance and stubbornness to God's plan in our life. Well, the third thing we talked about was unforgiveness. Mark 11, verse 25, the Bible says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, this is Jesus speaking, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so it is important that we forgive, that we not let that root of bitterness take hold and go down deep into our soul, and we get angry with people, we get hateful, we get that spirit of murder, that spirit of rage. And so don't let that unforgiveness take root in you and create a problem for you that stands in the way of your healing. Let go of offenses. Let go of offenses. Don't be prideful. Don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder. Let go of offenses, and you will be forgiven. Just as your trespasses are forgiven, so too you forgive other people's trespasses against you. And the last thing that we talked about last week was hiding sins. James 5:16, James, the half-brother of Jesus, chapter 5:16, it says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or accomplishes much. And so when you confess your sins to other people, it takes a load off of your mind, it takes a load off of your back, and you find out people are compassionate with you, you find out people care about you, and also you're not hiding, you're not keeping that sin in the shadows any longer. And so as a result of that, you bring it out into the light. You can start to deal with the situation. You can start to deal with the consequences. You can start to deal with the strongholds and the chains that are holding you. And so confess your sins one to another and you will be healed. Well, today we've got three things that I'm going to look at here to continue on in this vein, to continue on talking about hindrances to healing. And the first one I'm going to talk about is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, and I'm going to ask a question of you married people out there. Husbands, how are you treating your wives? Husbands, how are you treating your wives? Believe it or not, this has something to do with your healing. This has something to do with your walk with the Lord and how God will see you, how God will reward you and bless you and cover you with his healing power. Well, 1 Peter 3, Peter talks about this in verse 7. He says, husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Well, that is a big subject. It goes into the whole subject of marriage. And what is marriage? How do you look at your marriage? Are you happily married? Are you just tolerating your marriage? Are you wanting out of your marriage? Are you planning your divorce? What is your situation in marriage? Because this is very important to your physical health. It's important to your spiritual health. And so God wants to do a work in your marriage so that you can represent the body of Christ. And by represent, I mean marriage is a picture of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and the bride, the body of Christ. And so we have the bridegroom, the man, and we have the female or the woman, the wife, and they are representing the body of Christ, the bridegroom, Jesus, and the body of Christ. And so our earthly picture of Jesus Christ in the church is marriage. And so Peter says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding, and give honor to them as to the weaker vessel. And so when you think about your wife, husbands, when you think about the woman God has put beside you and the woman that you committed, you're in a covenant with God. This isn't just an agreement between the people that were at your wedding. You are in a covenant with God, and that's why God takes it very seriously. This is a covenant with Him, and the children that He gives you, you're in covenant with God to raise those children in a godly manner likewise. And so this is very important to God. And so when you are not dwelling with your wife in understanding, and you are not treating her as the weaker vessel, in other words, giving her compassion, giving her mercy, helping her, showing her love, showing her protection, providing for her, when you're not doing those things, Peter says, your prayers may be hindered. And so husbands, if you're praying for some physical malady or some problem that you have with your body or your soul, some mental problem, who knows what, I don't know. If you have those kind of issues in your life and you're not treating your wife in a godly manner, in an understanding manner, and as the weaker vessel, Peter says your prayers may be hindered, or your prayers will be hindered. And the way you unhinder them, or the way you loose them, is by treating your wife in the way that God expects you to treat her. And so this is a very important subject. And of course, we know the devil attacks marriage, and the devil hates marriage because it is a picture again of Jesus Christ and the church. And also when marriages break up and there's divorce and there's problems in the family, the children get exposed. The children don't have the covering that they need. The children don't have the protection they need. They don't have the instruction they need. The children become exposed. They become vulnerable. And so as a result, the devil makes hay when the family breaks up. The devil makes hay when the marriage goes into divorce or the marriage struggles. It makes a big problem for the kingdom, because then the devil can reach in and start to attack those children much easier. And also then the children carry on that spirit of agony, that spirit of torment, and also divorce becomes more prevalent in children who have come from divorced families. In fact, statistics show that children that come from divorced families, they don't want to get married. They're hesitant to get married. And so it is very important, husbands, that we deal with our wives in an understanding way, and that we acknowledge them as the weaker vessel, and that we love them as Jesus Christ loved the church. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that Jesus was willing to lay down His life for the church. Husbands, you should also be willing to lay down your life for your wife. Well, the next issue that I'm going to bring up regarding hindrance to healing, if you have your Bible there, turn it to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is the story of Asa, King Asa. And he was a king in Israel. And King Asa was a pretty good king, considering all the other kings of Israel and other kings of Judah. He was a good king, and he listened to the Lord, and he heeded the Lord, he called on the Lord. He had a problem, however, in verse 12, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12, Well, let's look at verse 11 here. Note that the acts of King Asa, first and last, are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. Verse 13, so Asa rested with his father. He died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients, prepared in a mixture of ointments. And they made a very great burning for him. And so he was honored, he was respected. But after he became diseased in his feet, he only lived a couple of years, and most feet ailments, you would not expect that. You would expect, you know, some kind of healing, or at least people to be able to go on for many years dealing with some kind of feet issues. But it says here, he did not seek the Lord, but only the physicians. Well, this isn't a diatribe against doctors and hospitals and medical advancements, medical technology. I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is you need to seek the Lord when you get physical malady, because many times there's spiritual, underlying spiritual problems that lead to the malady. There's underlying spiritual issues that need to be dealt with, and not try to just treat symptoms, the physical symptoms of the flesh. And so anyway, at this point, Asa did not seek the Lord. He ignored the Lord, and he just went to the physicians. And so this was a fulfillment of prophecy. It was spoken over Asa, prophetic word, that he would have this kind of issue in his life, and his pride or something kept him from seeking the Lord. And so he was not able to receive healing, and I'm sure he wanted healing. When people go to the doctors, of course they want healing, and many people don't know to go to the elders and let the elders pray for them. Many people don't know about the spiritual nature of illnesses. Many people don't understand that. They never studied the Bible, and nobody has ever spoken it to them. But beloved, if you're out there today and you have not acknowledged any spiritual covering over your life, you have no church home and you have no elders to look to, or no spiritual leaders to look to, you're kind of in a no man's land, and it is a situation where you're going to be dealing a lot with your sickness and a lot with your doctors. And so God's will is that you receive healing, and God's will is that you look to him first. The Bible said, we looked at that last week in James 5, that if any is sick among you, go to the elders, anoint that sick person with oil, let the elders lay hands on you and pray for you, and you will be healed. When you confess your sins to another and you allow people to pray for you, beloved, a great healing comes from that. And so Asa did not heed that warning. He did not heed that instruction. And so as a result of that, he lasted 2 years. He lived 2 years, and that was the end of his life from a foot disease. So my instruction, if you're out there today, and the instruction from God's word, if you are out there today and you're dealing with sickness and infirmity, and you're looking just to the doctors, and you're struggling to find a healing, you're struggling to get any better, don't just look to the doctors. Go and have somebody pray for you. Go and confess your sin. Go and let somebody lay hands on you and pray for you, and take care of the spiritual issues in your life. And then as your spiritual issues are dealt with, then your physical issues will also be taken care of. And I know that's easier said than done. Here in the U.S. especially, we have great medical care, we have great hospitals, great doctors, great technology of every kind, all kinds of medical tools and medicines. But beloved, understand this, God is the giver of life. God is the one who spoke over you your destiny. God is the one that spoke over you the days of your life. And so when you honor him and seek him for your healing, you give him the opportunity then to take care of your spiritual issues and your soul issues, and then your physical issues then may be cleared up because you seek the Lord first with your problem. Well, the last thing I'm going to talk about here, we've already touched on it some in the previous hindrances that we've talked about, is extreme or complete repentance when you get sickness. And I'm going to look at Isaiah chapter 38 here. If you have your Bible, turn it to Isaiah 38. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the one who wrote this book, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Well, nobody really wants to hear those words. We all like our life. We like to see our friends. We like to see our children, our grandchildren, our families. We love to see the sun come up. And the Bible says the mercies of the Lord are made new every day. And so there's always hope when you see that sun come up every day. But Isaiah was sick and near death, and the Lord sent a prophet to him, Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah said, "Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." And then turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed to the Lord. Verse 3, and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Well, sometimes we just need to go to the wall, turn to the wall, repent of any wrongdoing, and we've all stumbled, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. There's none among us that are sinless. Only Jesus was the only man that walked this earth who was sinless. And so there are times when we just need to go to the wall, and we need to repent, and we need to weep over the grieving that we have caused the Holy Spirit, and we need to weep over how we have grieved the Lord Jesus Christ and grieved his heart. And so this is what Hezekiah did. And so in verse 3, he asked the Lord to remember him. And beloved, this is very important. Ask the Lord to remember you. And we all have good deeds that we have done. We all have things that the Lord remembers and we can't even remember. But the Lord writes them all down. All of our good deeds were saved, not by good works, but were saved for good works. And so if you've been saved, if you're a born-again believer, and even if you're not, you can be saved today. And your good works, the good deeds that you have done, the righteous deeds you have done, the kindness you have shown people, and the benevolence you've shown people, you've given people money, you've given people food, you've given people shelter, all these things, then the Lord has written them down. He takes them into account. And so this is how then Hezekiah appealed to the Lord. And he said, "Lord, I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight." And he wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came again then to Isaiah, saying, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. And so I'm sure Isaiah was surprised by that, and I'm sure Hezekiah was shocked by that. God gave him 15 years because he repented, because he wept bitterly, and he cried out to the Lord for the Lord to remember him and the goodness that he has done. And in verse 6, God says, "I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria." Assyria was coming against Jerusalem at that time. "And I will defend this city." And so that story, you can read the rest of it in Isaiah 38, but it's a tremendous reminder that we have a sovereign God. And it is a reminder that you're not going to leave this earth until God says it is your time. You're not going to leave this earth until God says your destiny is done, your calling is finished. And when God says it's over, it's over. But if God gives you 15 more years, you rejoice and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And so that may be your case also as you think about repenting and weeping and reminding the Lord of the goodness you have done. Well, I hope you enjoyed these messages on healing, this series that we are finishing up. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to support this ministry. We invite you to support our projects in Africa, the Children's Home and the Church at the Living Water and all the other projects, the crusades that we've been preaching here for 11 years now. And so we appreciate your support. We want to hear from you, and we love to know that you're listening. We love to know that you are appreciating these radio broadcasts and all the other things that we are doing here for the kingdom of God. Stay tuned for contact information coming up right at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.